Okay, I'm going to call the board to order. Because it's after 5:30. And it looks like we have a quorum, which is great. I just did a scan, an environmental scan, but Stephanie is going to do the roll call, so we will know for sure. I think we've got seven.
Tom Moore.
Here.
Judy O'Connor.
Here.
Joe Omo Osagie. Elaine Plincia.
Here.
Kyle Patterson. Julian Rappaport.
Here.
Ann Robin.
Here.
Margaret White.
Here.
Susan Fowler.
Here. Yay. Okay, 7 out of 9. That's great. Well, we have the opportunity for citizen input, public participation. I see we have two attendees. You are more than welcome to come sit up at the table if you'd like. Is there anyone who has a comment they'd like to make? And if so, can you make it in under 5 minutes? Okay, great. Thank you. So I'm going to move on then to, and thank you for coming. To approval of the agenda, are there any questions or comments about the agenda? Okay. All those in favor of the agenda, aye?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, great. Comments from the president. So we have three important action items today. Or substantive action items. We always have the minutes to approve and things like that. But we have three substantive items today to approve, and I just want to commend the staff for their work on the three-year plan, the allocation guidelines, and the funding guidelines. I mean, I think the board should be set for the next 5 years. you have worked so hard over the past year to get these into final form. And even if we find a typo, they are so close to final form that, please, let's just move forward unless we have a substantive concern.
Okay.
So we will see yet an updated draft of one of the items which we've heard about in advance of the meeting, and will be guided through it. So if you didn't have time to reread it between yesterday and today, don't panic. But really, thank you, staff, for all that you've done. It's just, I feel like we are such an effective board because we have such a wonderful staff who just takes over. I mean, does what they need to do as a staff. They manage the administration really well. The infrastructure. So, and you know, it's going so well that I also wanted to note that I have thoroughly enjoyed my 2 years as president of this board, but that coming in January, it will be time to nominate and elect a new president and vice president, I guess it is, because we don't have a president elect to succeed me. I'm asking for someone to really step forward, and we can have some private conversations, you know, as long as it's not more than two of us gathered. It's not a violation of open meeting. But I think I will probably be in Hong Kong for May and June, and that's when we make some of the tough decisions. And while I can always phone or Skype in, I can't vote and I can't run a meeting. And we have really good board members, really experienced board members, really capable board members. And I am looking around the room at all of you. So, well, you know, it's an opportunity to help increase services to improve mental health and developmental disabilities in a country that wants to provide them. So, yep. And, you know, it's an interesting place to spend a little bit of time. So, so full disclosure. So at any rate, informal conversations between now and the meeting in January, but we do need to have someone prepared to say I am willing to serve as president when we come to our January meeting. So And I'll repeat that for Kyle and Joe, that I am asking someone on the board to step forward in January to serve as president. I am happy to be a backup, but I think I will be gone part of the coming year. With that, I would suggest we move on to the business at hand. We have the briefing memorandum for new business, and then unless we have agency information, we move into old business and some important votes. So, Lynn, can I turn the new business over to you, page 4, changes to online application and reporting system?
This doesn't require board action. It's also an area of the work that we can update sort of as we go if there is need for more improvement. We can do that at any time, but there was a pile up of requests from agency users and our own team members and board members for some improvements to the application system. So presenting it to you in this way also gets it into the public record so the agencies can look at it online in this board packet and know a little bit about what to expect next. But it is, some of the improvements that are very small and only take up one sentence are a big deal, like now large organizations with lots of personnel that don't service these contracts can just call that one thing and on the personnel form and save hours of time. So that is huge for some of the larger organizations. And then there's another one that's a small thing, but will hopefully save us a lot of that last-minute confusion and chaos, which is that for many years we've required receipt of a postmarked and a signed original of the cover and authorization form, and we're not going to require that anymore because the online submission is time-stamped and it's effectively signed. So, and further, we'll eventually look at board minutes, agency board minutes that demonstrate the application was approved by the agency's board, so we don't need that anymore. So there are little changes. The rest of it is well represented in lots of pages here. And we're trying also to incorporate changes that were made over the last few years into the forms so that people aren't having to work in different, you know, here's an uploaded template and here's a set of questions that you have to answer in a large space. We tried to put those details into the form itself. So that's all there is.
I'd like to say that it doesn't look as intimidating as it used to look to me before it was laid out so clearly. And I also just wanted to say how pleased I am. And I'm it's probably been here in the past, but page 16 lays out the commitment to having interagency cooperation. And on page 11, the agencies that are requesting funding have a place to talk about how they are collaborating and cooperating with other organizations. And that's something we've really tried to leverage. Mm-hmm. So I'm just pleased to be able to see it in one spot and know that we can look for it easily in the application.
And we hope that by breaking out the narrative form into many small questions instead of the four large text areas, it won't feel so much like you're fishing for the information that you want because we're just directly asking for it. I hope that will make it. We'll find out. If it doesn't make it easier, we'll change it again. So.
Other comments from the board?
I thought it was great.
Yeah. Moving on then to agency information. Do we have any agency information today? Okay, moving on to old business. This is where we come to our action items. So we have a decision memorandum for the draft 3-year plan with the 2019 objectives under A. We'll also have a draft of the allocation criteria under B, And under D, there'll be the funding guidelines, which have been replaced here. So we'll start with A. And Mark, you are listed as the author on this.
Yeah, it's as many projects are in the office, it's a team effort. But you mentioned earlier about typos. I did want to point out I do have a typo in the third paragraph. I refer to goal number 3, objective 5, and then immediately following that goal number 3, objective 6, those are actually goal number 2, objective 5, and goal number 2, objective 6. And that paragraph actually discusses new objectives that were added in response to either further staff review and discussion or input we received either through the board or public comment. So, and what you have in front of you is basically the updated 3-year plan, and we'll, I guess, unless there are questions, I'm not sure what else I would need to say.
To note that I found it helpful for you to identify which ones were priority criteria objectives and which ones were more collaboration, coordination, maybe moving towards funding requests, and then which ones were policy objectives. It just helped me know how and where to focus, and so I appreciate that. I like that better than staff versus board also. Mm-hmm. It was much, yeah. So do we have a motion, and then we can have discussion? Tom has moved to approve the 3-year plan. We have a second from Margaret. Okay. Discussion.
I don't know. This is just a minor, but I think significant thing for wording. I was going to send this as an email, but I didn't, so I'm going to bring it up right now. Okay. On page 26 under the first whereas, is that considered part of the 3-year plan or the document, or what is page 26?
It is part of
the, part of the document? Okay.
Yes, that's in that, I believe, is actually an excerpt from the statute.
Okay. Well, then I don't think we can probably change it. I was just going to suggest that we modify the language in the first paragraph to make it person-centered instead of saying the developmentally disabled, that we say persons with developmental disability.
Maybe you could get the legislature to do that.
And instead of saying substance abuser, we could say persons with substance use disorder or something like that.
That is, what you're saying is exactly something that the legislature will have to fix. This was only updated a couple of years ago from the previous language, which is now, like, absolutely not used at all.
Okay.
The MR language.
But.
So, yeah.
Being sensitive to person-centered mm-hmm. language, I found absolutely 100% positive person-centered in the rest of the document. So thank you very much. It was perfect.
I will check to make sure there hasn't been any further update to this, but I believe it is what's in the statute.
Is it possible to kind of put an asterisk there somewhere to indicate our wording would be of some sort of like that?
We could paraphrase.
Yeah.
Instead of quoting. I mean, it's.
But what I wanted to comment on was under goal 1, objective 4.
Page 27.
On page 27, I'm sorry. Yeah, on page 27. Support broad-based community efforts to prevent opiate overdose and expand treatment options. I noticed in throughout the document there are several places where we indicate we pay attention to the I guess, the opiate crisis. And it seems to me that if what I read in the paper or whatever is absolutely true, that this is an issue that really impacts rural communities, that I'm happy that we have are noticing that, and hopefully we can get some conversations going for that. I remember years ago we had a board member who was very attentive to what we did that affected the county outside of Champaign-Urbana, and this seems to be a great way to start calling our attention to what's happening outside of Champaign-Urbana. So I'm thrilled that you did that. And then the other one is on the next page, on page 29, Objective 2, Goal 6. We'll be paying attention to the reentry concerns. And hopefully if our local area is going to address incarceration and wants to decarcerate, then these kinds of issues we're going to have to be paying really close attention to. So those two things, I think, are really powerful in this document, and thank you for putting those in here.
Other board comments? Hearing none, I think we could call a vote. And definitely this is a roll call vote.
So all those in favor of approving the funding document, the three-year plan with objectives for 2019, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Unanimously passed. Great. Wonderful work. The next item on the agenda is the decision memorandum for the allocation priorities and decision support criteria. And the motion for that is on page 52. It starts on page 32, but the motion itself is on page
42.
Ah, sorry, skipped.
There you are.
42. Thank you. It's on page 42. Lynn, do you want to provide some overview comments?
I think we left highlights on all of the changes since the version that you saw in October. And I think that October board packet was released literally the day after the Pittsburgh tragedy. And someone called me and said, that's really weird that you're quoting Fred Rogers. So I really did not get that from a crystal ball or anything, but I thought it was kind of spooky. So anyway, we got a lot of input. It was some of it started at the board meeting. Some was, input that was emailed by board members and agency providers. And so those changes are highlighted. I think you can kind of see them as like a dark smudge.
Yeah.
Not right. Very clearly highlighted, but just so that you could track them. It was being a little bit more specific in the language about underserved and underrepresented populations and maybe why we should be focusing there. Some specifics about stigma and who might be more typically impacted by stigma. And it's not always mental health, but can have mental health outcomes. And then there were some spelling errors, and then Julian's suggestion about changing the wording of the very last caveat regarding multi-year contracting so that giving the board some discretion to come in at any point and suggest multi-year contracting with current or proposed programs.
Do we have a motion and then we can discuss? Anne?
I move to approve.
The allocation priorities? A second?
Second.
Julian, okay. And a third by Kyle. Okay. Discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Passed unanimously. We have seen this several times, and it has gotten clearer and clearer. Thank you.
And now this one, you've sure seen several
times. Yes, and this is for only This one is for information only.
Oh, yes.
So the C, 8C, is the decision memorandum on... for the DD board, which is just information only. We don't need to vote on it. If anyone has a question, we can entertain questions.
You're mentioned in it.
We're mentioned in it because we collaborate with the board, the DD board. It's one of our priorities. Okay, hearing no one jumping to comment, I propose we move to 8D, which is another motion, and it is the funding guidelines and audit policy. And you have on your table a revision of 8D, and I'm going to turn it over to Lynn to identify what we need to know that may be reworded or updated.
And then I think if you agree with these revisions, you make a different motion than the one we suggested in the board packet. Is that right? I mean, you can. Okay, so the changes, these are sort of last-minute changes. They were suggested mostly to reduce any confusion. There's nothing really substantial here, but we thought they were important, and they came from one of the people who was one of the CPAs that we were getting advice from, and she actually read our document. So the first one is on page, I think it's 14. And, no, let me see what's there.
Of the document on our
in the handout, and they're highlighted in green. Okay. No. Fortunately, no.
Right, it's under audit and financial.
And that's not true for the DD board. I started finding spelling errors after, so that's never going to stop. But this one we can stop. So on page 14, she suggested we cross out review for review because that could create some confusion. This is, we don't mean for the independent financial review. We mean just for general review. So just strike in the words to make it more clear. And then under independent audit, in the description of what an independent audit is, basically she suggested we add the words in internal control, because those are the kind of weaknesses that an auditor is going to report on. Then on
any questions as we go through, feel free to raise your hand.
Then the third change is on page 15. It's simply adding the word independent in front of financial review, just to make it parallel to independent audit. And then the final change is on page 16. It's the most substantial change. It reiterates something from above, just to eliminate confusion, that the following supplementary financial information shall be completed by an independent CPA firm and included in the audit, so that it's not completed by someone else and then attached to the audit without the auditor seeing it. We thought that was actually a pretty important clarification. So that's it.
Motion to approve the distributed copy of the mental health board, Champaign County Mental Health Board requirements and guidelines for allocation of funds, referred to as the funding guidelines. We have a motion. Okay, I think I saw Margaret stand up right before Anne. Anne, are you seconding it?
Yes.
Okay, great. Any discussion?
I have a comment.
Oh.
And it's about the sections called fiscal requirements. They're on page 5 and go through page 7. And as I read that, I was thinking not only does that help us with the accounting procedures and being accurate, but it seems like this is a great service to our awardees, that it will enhance their business-like and administrative aspect of their organization if they follow these. I mean, this is a great roadmap to how to have your business run. So I think you've done a great job in doing adding that specificity to it. You know.
One question, just because I don't know. When you have the contract amendments, that'd be 65 on our original one, those contract amendments are driven by a change in conditions and are initiated by the provider, I believe. And I was just curious, is that ever initiated by your office, that kind of thing also? But that it just mentioned...
The new one.
It just, I think it just mentions the provider, and I was just curious if, if it can originate both places. I wasn't sure if that was reflected. It does say the provider shall submit a formal request to initiate the amendment process. And then the rest of it about the executive director, I think, is more about approving that or what to do with that request. But if that contract amendment can also originate in your office, should it that be mentioned too?
You know, I didn't...
To keep people from saying, right. Well, I didn't ask for this.
I didn't initially see this as not supporting that, but it maybe isn't clear enough.
Just a question.
Yeah. No, I mean, when we were working on it, I never thought this doesn't support that process because there's a little bit of language, and we went around and around about this, about decisions about amendments fall under the purview of staff. I thought that captured it, but I see what you're saying, that in the way... Because it's the order of this suggests that someone else would initiate it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So my question, by the time I got to noncompliance, I was thinking, well, is the only time you step in when there's noncompliance? But then could you suggest an amendment to the contract to deal with that and so on? So that's where I was going with all that. So... Maybe it can be, if it can be initiated from either side, maybe that should be in there. I don't know.
It's on page 10 on the...
On that one, yeah. Or it's on 65 in your packet. And it's under contract amendments. So.
We had a recent instance with Rosecrans and the Parenting with Love and Limits program. It was... We had an internal discussion about the fee-for-service payment schedule, and the way we chose to handle it was I broached the subject with Rosecrans, and they concurred. They agreed to moving forward with the amendment, and so it wasn't a unilateral decision by staff to issue the amendment, that the agency was approached about it. And we didn't move forward on the amendment until they had said that they agreed.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, my question was just about whether it's mm-hmm. both sides.
Yeah.
I don't know that we need to amend it, but we could certainly say at that first sentence, the need for a contract amendment is driven by a change in conditions delineated in the original agreement and may come from the funder or... the recipient. If we really need to be that explicit, I don't think we do. We?
It's assumed. It, that,
I don't know.
The board makes the contracts.
The board can withdraw contracts if they're not being followed. I think the board and the office have final determination.
Staff. So it's like decision.
Do we need to amend the distributed motion?
So in
I feel pretty confident that this protects our, that we're still protected in initiating a contract amendment, because a contract amendment still requires signatures from the provider's director, the provider's board president, our board president or vice president, and myself. So there is, we have to get to a point of mutuality. There's also, you know, obviously there's some language in here about, like, there are some amendments that we're going to bring to the full board. Whether for information or for approval, because of the circumstances or the financial impact. So I feel like this does still protect us. It wouldn't be that big of a deal to add something like that, and maybe initiated by either party. But we can terminate contracts too, so we could start the discussion that way. We're terminating your contract. Oh no, wait. Let's, you know, the provider says, can we amend it instead? Then we say sure. You know, so functionally, I think we're not really limited. It might just be awkward. And it is, this is exactly the kind of thing that, like, I have so appreciated the input of careful readers throughout this process, because this wasn't touched for 9 years. So there was a whole lot to look at. And so thank you for reading it carefully and noticing this weakness. And, you know, you all can.
This one made me thankful that I'm not an accountant.
And Tom, you had a comment?
I think that one way or the other is okay with me, but if there's any point of making things even more clear and anticipating confusion down the line, then I think we should go ahead and do it. Word it the way Lynn suggested, because
I like to bite either party.
Yeah.
Those words into the motion.
So you're saying, and I'm going to make sure that Elaine agrees, the need for a contract amendment is driven by.
I guess I have a question a little bit farther down. The process is that decisions about amendments fall under the purview of staff and are executed by the board president and executive director. And maybe I'm confused about this, but I'm thinking that with this being a document on into the future with different individuals and the roles of staff and board, would we want to have something? I can understand why decisions would need to be done in between board meetings and not necessarily involve the whole board, but there should be something in there about the board being informed when a change is made. I didn't see that.
Did we do that further down in the combined section?
Well, is it someplace else?
I think it may not be closely enough linked, but C says at their discretion, and maybe we take that out. The board president, take out at their discretion. The board president or the executive director will inform the board of amendments and may ask for a full review, because we do come back sometimes for a full review, not wanting to make the decision independently of the board if it's a fairly major change.
Yeah, I would just suggest that you have a bullet point saying that the between B and C, mm-hmm. that the board president and executive director will inform the board at the next meeting of contract amendments. That it just be.
Could it be a staff function?
Yeah. Okay. And don't change anything else.
So you wanted to take out at their discretion?
Well, I think you could just say, in general, decisions about amendments fall under the purview of staff, et cetera. And then a sentence in B that says the board president or executive director will inform the board of these changes at the next meeting.
I would just add that.
Okay.
I'm just thinking, you know,
sure.
5, 10, 15 years down the line, somebody hasn't reviewed this, and you have a rogue administrator mm-hmm. who's making all kinds of arbitrary right. changes, and the board is weak and they don't know what's going on. I mm-hmm. just, I don't know.
Believe we're doing a good job, and there's a sense of civility and trust among the board and the director and staff, but we could take out under at their discretion and see the board president or the executive director may ask for a full review, board review and approval of a proposed amendment.
Yeah, we can do that, but I want to add that the board will be informed
yes,
when an amendment
that,
is done.
That's already been added.
So at the end of B, you want to say the board shall be informed of
the board
all
shall
amendments?
Be informed of all contract amendments.
Okay.
At the end of B?
At the end of B. Mm-hmm. Elaine has a way of simplifying the language. Thank you.
Okay. And so I'm not sure following the changes on C.
In C, just, I just took out at their discretion.
Okay.
Well, it's redundant, really.
It's redundant.
It's May.
Yeah, is the same.
Subjunctive, so.
Got it.
Okay. I think Kyle had a comment. Kyle, do you have a comment?
So to be clear, for C, you want to take out at their discretion because you see it as a redundancy, correct? Okay, so, yeah, I was just, because I didn't know if you wanted to change the discretion aspect of that because it says may instead of shall, so.
Yeah.
I think that you can change the motion to note discussed changes under contract amendments, leaving it that vague, because Stephanie's got the exact wording.
All right, so I changed. You have the exact wording. Change the motion with amendments.
And do you...
The board shall be informed of all contract amendments comes at the end of B.
B.
Just a sentence added. Yeah.
One thing I really appreciate about that sentence is that there are situations where we might need to tell you immediately and not wait till the next scheduled meeting, and that's pretty consistently in this document when you would hear about things. But there are such contract amendments of importance that I would want to tell you right away.
Anne has seconded the motion. Is there further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion and its amendment to include new wording, please say aye.
Aye.
Any nays? Any abstentions? Passed. Moving on then to E is the schedule and allocation process timeline. On page 74, this is a reminder. We can at this point, because we have passed, well, we still have to go into, we haven't completed our board meeting. It is possible, and we'll come back to this at the end, at the very end, whether or not there will be a need for a December 19th board meeting. Okay. So that's tentative, and we may be able to delete it. But we won't know until the end of our meeting.
You don't even have to decide today.
We don't. Oh, great. Okay. Any questions about the meeting schedule?
What you talked about with the
I was just prompting you, the December 12th.
Oh, yes. We have an opportunity to invite board members on December 12th to attend the Community Coalition. You're always invited to attend the Community Coalition meeting. But on December 12th at the library at 3:30, the Birth to Three programs, service programs, many of whom are funded by this board, partially funded by this board, will be presenting. The other option was to have a study session on December 19th and ask them to re-present. To us, seems like it might be a better use of everyone's time if we went to the December 12th presentation at the library. And I'm sure that Lynn or Stephanie will send out an email reminding us.
I think attending the meeting at the library and seeing who the coalition really is will be really informative to this board.
CCDB information, Lynn?
The CCDB met this morning, and they also passed, they approved a set of priorities for funding for the next cycle. They looked at the application materials. They approved a three-year plan. They approved funding guidelines with corrections of spelling errors that were not in your document but in theirs. And then they canceled the December 19th meeting because their business is hopefully completed, unless something else comes up, but everything can hopefully wait until January. So I feel confident that we can start working on the application system and get it ready for the next round of funding proposals.
The executive director's report.
Well, I suppose it's the same. I think I didn't provide you a written report because the collaborations and the meetings that I attend regularly are, although I've continued to do them since the last written report, this board packet has really been the focus for me, just getting input on these documents and trying to get them as close to done as we could. But there are some neat things that we're working on, so if you don't have a meeting in December, I'll just send a report on the things I've been doing, because hopefully some of them will result in new activities, new partnerships for us, but we'll see.
Once again, we had some very informative staff consultant reports, pages 83 to 104, and those reports were provided by Mark, Kim, Chandra, Stephanie, and also our consultant for the Disability Expo, Barbara Bresner. Provide a few minutes for any of the staff to make comments on their reports.
I'd like to speak to one aspect of my staff report. In it, I give an update on Parenting with Love and Limits. There was some detail in terms of kind of a status update in my September staff report. I've since learned, since this particular report came out, that the one remaining PLL therapist has made a lateral move within Rosecrans, and effective December 1st, that program, unless there are new hires that come in, will not have staff. This contract for this year is a fee-for-service contract. In my staff report for this evening's meeting. I talk about an amendment that we initiated. I already mentioned it earlier about adjusting our advance payments under the terms of the contract, the fee-for-service terms. That contract is in process. It's actually been sent to Rosecrans. It has not come back yet. But I have, we had a meeting in September with stakeholders. At that meeting, there were a couple of other models that were discussed. There has not been any additional information shared from Rosecrans in terms of direction that they intend to take, other than in talking to Mr. Gleason following a meeting where I learned about the therapist making the lateral move, that he has said a letter is forthcoming about their intention with this program. I'm expecting that we will get a letter shortly that will detail, I'm assuming, new direction for the program, in that as in a new model. But until we get the official notice, I'm not sure where this is headed. It is possible that I suppose if staff meeting the requirements for the program did present to the agency, submit a resume, that they might be hired into PLL. It's also my understanding that they have a considerable number of vacancies throughout the agency to the point they held a job fair recently. Not all of this, the staff report comes out, and in the interim, this additional information has come to light. So I wanted to take the time today to just brief the board that we have this issue because it is a fee-for-service contract. They are only paid for services billed, although the way the contract is structured, they do get advance payments. So they do have excess revenue. They do have revenue that is in their possession that we will have to address as part of moving forward whatever direction this program heads.
So what happens to the Savannah Family Institute contract?
That is a phone call that we're planning to make, and actually what we have talked about internally is to suspend the contract until we know where this program is headed. And the suspension may be permanent and the contract terminated. So.
Julian, I want to say something.
We just approved in the, the goals or the plans or one of these documents, we just explicitly said we wanted to do PLL in the document.
No.
Or an alternative model.
Does it say or an alternative? Okay, great. Okay, good. Thank you for that. This is one of those things that's not, obviously, this is one of those big amendments, not some trivial thing. So this is obviously the kind of thing that the board needs to be involved in, especially if there's a shift in how it's being provided. I wouldn't want to make, for example, the assumption that that organization is the only organization that could provide such service. Just because they'll come up with a plan for one, maybe it'll be great, maybe it won't, maybe there'll be other appropriate providers. For what we care about is getting those clients taken care of in a excellent way. So this would be a conversation for us to have of a more substantive nature. I mean, this may be obvious. I just want to make sure this doesn't end up being just, oh, we're just amending the contract. Now they'll do this instead of that.
Well, I think that's obvious, and I think that we've been raising questions for 2 years now, and this is the culmination. We'll see what the next chapter is. Joe, did you want to say something? Okay. So you will keep us informed, Mark.
Right? I certainly will. When we get the letter, that certainly will be shared with the board. This is an extreme example of something that would most certainly be coming back to the board, not only just for discussion, but probably deliberation over the course of meetings. I did want to share one other item, is that at the other end of situations that may require an amendment, we actually have Rose Grants is relocating their administrative office from Fox Drive to Moreland. We will be required to do an amendment, which is simply a change of address. That's an example of something that staff would execute. The same is true for races. But this, something like this, I mean, and there's a lot between this case and change of address, but there certainly is a line in there where in discussion internally and with board leadership, a decision's made about what comes to the board.
I just want to comment. I'm extremely disappointed after that presentation how this was going to work out, and we gave all that money to the Savannah Institute, and the money's gone, and the service, I mean, if you looked at the cost of services and what we could have done, like Julian said, there's other people that can provide services.
No, I want to. It's a bit of a different item in your report. If you're done, I just wondered a little more. I want to understand what's happening at Family Service. That seems important, or it implies things that we should pay attention to. But I don't know exactly what they are.
As I mentioned, they have lost some longstanding contracts through the East Central Illinois Area Agency on Aging to a provider. I think it's Chris in Vermilion County. And essentially the difference from what we've been told, the difference between the contracts was projected numbers served, and that Chris had a much higher number that they say they will serve in Champaign County than Family Service had in their application. In meeting with them, they have made some adjustments in staffing. They intend to continue to provide the services that they are providing. The staffing adjustments have been done through attrition rather than a layoff. And I think they're really struggling to come to grips with what this means for their organization. The program will be smaller. We'll see that reflected in their application to us in January. We did get an email this afternoon, actually, from Rosanna McLean, the senior program director, kind of providing a bit more detail, and I can share that with the board. I'd be happy to share that with the board. I don't think at this point that there is much in what she sent that is different than what I've summarized here, other than she expects their numbers to hold steady a little bit in some areas where I've said in the staff report that it's likely that we'll see some reduction. So
I don't recall how we're paying for the service or what we're paying. Are we paying how do we do this? Is it numbers of people served?
This is a grant. It means we are paying a larger share of the total operation of the program.
And that will come up for more discussion with the new proposal submitted in January, but they do a lot of the outreach to the rural part of the community, don't they?
Yes, they They do outreach to the rural part of the community. They are to the county. Their numbers, because of the concentration in Champaign-Urbana, probably reflect serving more people in Champaign-Urbana.
I think unless there's some other critical issues to talk about, we've got the reports. I'm looking at the clock, and we still have approval of the minutes and need to go into a closed session. However, I don't want to not be appreciative of Chandra's report and Stephanie's report and Kim's report. We really appreciate the information that's provided. Feel like we're kept up to date on your activities. Thank you.
If I may add that we should notice Stephanie's report that this is her 20th year, her 20th anniversary of this job. We should all at least give her a hand, if not a designation.
Thank you. Okay. I would like to, at least for the moment, skip board-to-board reports. Are there any pressing board announcements? Okay. Then if we could, we still have to approve the minutes. Approval of the minutes from October 17th and October 24th, pages 78 to 82. I want to compliment Stephanie and her brevity. They're very concise.
I arrived at the October 24th.
Okay, so we can make that correction. Any other corrections? Do I have a motion to approve both minutes?
I make the motion to approve both minutes. Can I do it in one?
Mm-hmm. Do I have a second from Joseph?
Second. Yeah.
Okay. Discussion, any other corrections about attendance or content? All those in favor of approving the minutes, say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstained? Okay, great.
So
with that completed, I would like to propose that we move into closed session pursuant to 5 ILCS 120/2C1 to consider the employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of an employee of the Champaign County Mental Health Board and the Developmental Disabilities Board. The closed session shall include members of the Mental Health Board and may include the president of the DD Board. I don't think Deb is here. And may also include Ms. Lynn Canfield. So I guess it's a motion to go into closed session. And perhaps I shouldn't be making it. I've just read it. Is there anyone who would like to agree to the motion I've just read? Okay, so Anne has agreed to it and Margaret has seconded it. Discussion? All those in favor?
I know for county board, we always do a roll call for a closed session.
All right, fine.
Tom Moore?
Yes.
Judy O'Connor?
Yes.
Joe Omolasagie?
Yes.
Yes. Kyle Patterson?
Yes.
Julian
Rappaport? Yes.
Ann Robbins?
Yes.
Margaret White?
Yes.
Susan Fowler?
Yes. So we will go into closed session in the room behind us, and then we will come back and reopen our session. And depending upon the time available, we have one more action under 16. We can talk some more or we can adjourn.
Thank you.
some of that reform?
Sure.
Because that would be the only... And then we had my form, which I don't think...
No.
Is that, Stephanie, is there a... Can they do it without recording it, or if they take notes?
They should record it.
Okay.
If they have the capability.
Okay, so...
You close the question.
So how do I record it on the...
What happens to them? They end up, you not close.
We forget about them.
I mean, what happens in general?
We could be FOIA'd for them.
Are they really not closed because they're recorded?
They're closed for 18 months.
And then they... I was just curious, all these closed sessions, you know?
Okay, let me ask that. Were you going to FOIA us?
So I got 18 months to get out of town.
We'll work it out.
Yeah, she asked me to. Well, if you want to go, that's okay. I know what to do.
We can spend.
$5, okay. But you locked all the doors, and I know how to lock them.
I mean, there could potentially be a vote when they come out of this closed session, so I'm not sure if we should do a vote on the contract. That'd be a little weird.
Yeah. That's true.
And like she's like doing the recording of the votes, and she gets upset. Scenario here. What?
That's horrible.
I know. Well,
I really don't think that's what's going to happen.
Grab them, Margaret. All right. There's something that I need to say when we come out of closed session. Okay. I am going to ask the board to move to come out of closed session. Is there a second for coming out of closed session, Kyle? Discussion. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Roll call.
Make sure nobody skipped out.
In the bathroom, probably.
It is. You're on the.
It is. Took a personal break.
We do have human beings on this board.
Julie O'Connor?
Here.
Joe Omoosagie?
Here.
Elaine Palencia?
Here.
Kyle Patterson?
Here.
Julian Rappaport?
Here.
Ann Robin?
Here.
Margaret White?
Here.
Tom Moore? Susan Fowler?
Here. Okay. I would like a motion to approve the executive contract of Lynn Canfield, effective on the 14th day of November 2018. Moved by Kyle Robinson and seconded by Elaine Palencia. Any discussion?
My last name is Patterson. I think you said Robinson.
I am so sorry.
It's okay.
Thank you. All right. All those in favor?
Just for the record.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate it.
We'll have to do a roll call.
Okay. It's money. All right. So let's do it.
Okay.
All those voting to approve.
Moore.
Yes.
Judy O'Connor?
Yes.
Joe Omoosagie?
Yes.
Elaine Palencia?
Yes.
Kyle Patterson?
Yes.
Julian Rappaport?
Yes.
Ann Robin?
Yes.
Margaret White?
Yes.
Susan Fowler?
Yes. Passed. Congratulations, Lynn. Thank you.
It was a near thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you could say that it was 7.5 minutes of procedure and praise. P&P. Thank you for all that you've done.
Yes. Thank you for giving me an opportunity.
Yeah. Okay. I believe that we can adjourn unless someone would like to make a board-to-board report.
Oh, you don't have to if all the business has been done. You don't need a motion.
All right.
Could I just say one thing?
Sure.
That I learned at the coalition meeting, and I think this is correct, and it's really something that I was really.
On Tuesday at the Champaign Council Center, they are doing a review of the Fresh Start, and they will be reviewing all 70 people that were involved with that with a follow-up to where these people have gone. And I think that we put a lot of energy into discussion and support of that, and I'm really excited to hear what. So I just wanted to share that.